Tim, how many help me count the instrumentals versus the songs that are being sung on this? What?
Let me see. I have to get a copy of the record here.
Give it a think. Didn't expect that one, did you? Tim Stafford is looking for his copy of the record of Just to Hear the Whistle Blow.
Sorry, I've got the...
Sorry, man, take your time.
Okay, let's see. Starts out with Whiskey Island. Let's say 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 instrumentals and 8 vocal tones.
Okay, all right. When we were talking about songs, I'm kind of backslinging. I'm backsliding. Poodle on the Dashboard. Did you actually see a poodle on the dashboard?
I did, and that was one of those things I wrote down on my pad, you know, because I actually saw it one day. I forget where I was at. I was at the bank or something, and I was behind somebody who had a poodle on the dashboard. And as they went around, it was probably a drive-through at a food place or something. And that poodle kept sliding from one side to the next when he was moving around, you know. And I wrote it down and thought, I'll never get to use that, you know. But then when I heard this tune, I was trying to come up with a name for it, and I thought, gosh, it kind of fits that, you know, because I can kind of see that poodle sort of sliding around. And so that's how that works.
Well, there you go. You never know. You just got to see. You're so tuned into those little things that'll key a little song or something for you to write later on. That's just amazing that you even think to write it down.
Just always be. You know, that's the one piece of advice I probably give people asking me for advice is just keep something handy and always be in tune to write something down. And I also have a recorder on my phone, and I use that for melody ideas all the time, because a lot of times you'll get melody ideas, and if you don't sing them right then, if you don't record them, you're going to forget it. You know, you might come up with something close to what you have, but you're not going to remember the exact thing.
Okay. That sounds good. That makes sense to me.
Yeah, you might actually forget the one little piece of it that made it very unique and make it stand out. So.
Yeah. So you must be a joy at parties. There's Tim standing over there, and he's writing down everything everybody says and then singing into his phone.
Well, I think everybody I know will probably tell you that I do say, hey, that might be great. I'm trying to break out that phone to write it. I do that all the time. I know.
Of course, you're probably hanging around enough musicians that they're all doing the same thing.
Absolutely. They're trying to get what they do.
Hey, Tim, what kind of a guitar are you playing?
Well, on this record here, I play two main guitars. Usually I try to play more than that, but on this one here, I play my 34 D18 Martin D18, which is just a great guitar, and it's a great recording guitar also. And I also played a Gary Cotton guitar. Gary's a builder from up in Eastern Kentucky and around Grayson, and he builds great instruments, and he did a signature model guitar for me for a while, and that's what I used for, I believe, can't remember whether I used it on Janet's song. I think I used it on Morgan's Way and a couple other tunes, Bobby Nelson. Trying to think of what else. Worries Like a Rocking Chair, I think.
Okay.
So, you know, guitars... I love the way that the old D18 sounds, and it's hard to beat that. But, and I really do think that with a lot of players, you know, if you play long enough, the sound is really in the right hand of the guitar player. And I think, you know, that it amazed me when I did the Tony Rice biography a few years ago, Still Inside.
Oh, yeah, talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, you know, that was it's kind of a labor of love. I worked 10 years on it and got a co-writer halfway through it. And Caroline Wright and I finally put this book out. It's called Still Inside the Tony Rice Story.
Mm-hmm.
It's on Word of Mouth Press, and it is available. A lot of people think it's out of print because of Amazon. It's not on Amazon, but not everything's on Amazon.
Right.
And you can still get it through the TonyRiceStory.com.
Okay, good.
But it's a full authorized biography of Tony. And one thing that really struck me was that on some of Tony's most landmark recordings, like Manzanita, he actually used an ovation. You know, everybody's
really?
That great old Clarence White guitar.
With the big old hole in it and everything, it wasn't even that long.
Yeah, yeah. And you know what? It's not the guitar. It's really Tony's right hand.
That's right.
You know? And it really sounds like Tony no matter what he plays. And I felt like one of the Tone Poems records really brought that out because he played all these different guitars with David Grisman.
The very first one they did, and they traded off. Yeah. Yeah, it was great.
Still sounds like Tony.
Every single one,
you know?
Yep.
It still sounds remarkably consistent.
Yep, yeah, it does. It does. You must have had a black.
There's a few exceptions to that. Like, I have a small body of Triple Alt 28 here that's a great sounding fingerpick guitar, but you really can't flat pick it too well. It's not going to have the tone and sustain like the D18 has. And I do love the old Martin.
When you worked on that book about Tony, of course you clearly every guitar player has to be a student of what he does. But when you that probably gave you a better opportunity to really stop and re-examine, like you said. Now then you found out that he did an ovation, used an ovation on Manzanita. I bet you that it really was a learning experience for you to go back and really analyze that stuff for that book.
It was, I grew up just idolizing his playing like most everybody else, you know, that was my age and in my generation. And, I couldn't play like him. That was the big difference between me and some of these other guys like Jason Burleson, Zane Fairchild, and Clay Jones and all those guys. They could actually play like Tony. And I couldn't, and it never came natural to me to learn how to do it. I did learn a lot of his tunes, but when I played them, they just didn't sound like Tony, you know. I think I learned more from his rhythm playing than anything else, because I feel like he's just of all the things he does, probably his rhythm guitar playing is the one thing that is the most dominant, to my ear.
I think it is to people who are watching for that, and I don't include myself in that musicianship level, but. You know, I think everybody's looking for those runs that will just blow your mind. But you're right. I don't have to agree with you. You're the authority. But his rhythm playing was just like pop your eyes out.
Yeah. I think that he changed the whole approach to rhythm guitar playing in bluegrass, in a very, very profound way. It just was never the same after Tony.
Was it the chord, the changes he was playing, or was there something else?
Partially, it was the chord changes, and partially it was that right hand, which was like half Lester Flatt, half Clarence White, and just all Tony.
Okay.
You know, just there's never been anything like it, and the power he could get with closed chord positions, I've never heard anybody approach what he's able to do with that. And his timing and syncopation are just uncanny, and he would use that to great effect in his rhythm playing and do things that 10 years before him would just, it seems like that was 1,000 years before him when you listen to rhythm guitar playing and how far he took it.
Oh yeah, he's one of those guys that was kind of a watershed for and Clarence White did amazing stuff, and but Tony was the one who really kind of kicked it another notch. And then, you can't pick up a guitar now and not think of the stuff that he's done.
Well, I'm a big Clarence fan too, and I know Tony owes a lot to him stylistically, and he felt like, his right hand is very similar to what Clarence did, and it is, but it's not, if you look at it. But anyway, that was a real labor of love and something I really enjoyed doing. So I'm glad I got it finished.
I guess
it was very labor intensive.
Oh, I can imagine. So now you've got the new album. What's Blue Highway up to recently? Coming up on the holidays, are you guys?
We're kind of off until January.
Okay.
But we have we're actually doing a bunch of national anthems coming up, which is different for us. were doing one for the Charlotte Hornets and San Antonio Spurs in Charlotte on January 14th, my son's birthday.
Oh, cool.
And then we're doing the Tennessee-Kentucky game, basketball game. We're doing the national anthem there on February 17th in Knoxville. So, you know, and we've got an offer from Auburn and Mississippi State to be theirs as well.
Really?
It's kind of cool. I have something we just – we did a NASCAR race years ago in Bristol and kind of left it at that. And now we've got a publicist slash road manager – who has a lot of connections with the NBA and college basketball, and she's worked with Doyle Austin in the past, and he's done several of those in recent years. So that's sort of new for us.
Yeah, but, I was going to ask you how to get into that gig, but there you just explained it, how it happens. All right. Cool. That's nice.
I think that's part of it. And then we had a recording of us doing it at Bristol, and, you know, we actually went in the studio because we had done it a couple, three times. Started doing it at festivals a little bit, and so we went in when we were doing, I think, Sounds at Home,
okay,
and recorded it, and so we got it back out and polished it up and sent it out to these people.
Sure.
And seemed to like it. So.
Yeah, that's cool. That's a nice little diversion for you, something different to do.
Yeah, then, you know, we got a really good schedule next year. It looks great.
Hey, you know where I was Saturday? There's no way you could know this. I was up at Miami University in Hamilton, Ohio.
Oh, cool. Not quite my alma mater, but pretty close.
You went through a little bit of it.
I did. I worked on a PhD in history there from 84 to 86.
Mm-hmm.
And I never finished. I got ABD, but I never finished the dissertation. So.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember that. I remember Howard. We were there Saturday for I'm going to say this, Tuvan throat singers. They're from China.
Yes, I heard of them. Yeah,
it'll blow your mind. It will blow your mind. I can't describe it. It's nothing like anything else. Except I thought oh, I'm going to be talking to Tim coming up, and here I am, you know, back in part of the Miami University one of their branches. So yeah, but yeah, if you ever want to see something totally different than anything else you've done, Tuvan throat singers.
Yeah, they kind of sing harmony with themselves.
That's the best way to say it.
And I can kind of do that, but it really kills my voice. So I don't do it too much.
They do three sounds from one person now. I mean, I can do two, I think. They will sing, whistle, and then sort of like that real hard humming sound, and they're all different melodies.
Yeah, it's just bizarre. You wonder how something like that evolves, you know. And
work on that for the next Blue Highway.
I'll do what I can
get, see if somebody can work that up for you. Just you know, add another little arrow in your quiver there. How would that be?
Yeah, I say similar kind of thing. We played the American Folk Festival up in Bangor, Maine this summer. And Rob and I did a guitar workshop and with couple of different electric players, and there was a Vietnamese guitar player there. He didn't play guitar. He played this Vietnamese instrument that was actually a hollow log with one string on it. And he used there was a way he could move the string and do harmonics on it. And it was amazing. And he jammed on a blues. And it was some of the most amazing stuff you ever heard in your life. The crowd just went nuts. And I thought, now that's pretty cool right there. That's something you do not see every day.
Write that down and record something in your phone on that one next time.
Yeah, absolutely.
The name of this song is One String Log Guitar. All right. Well, listen, man, I appreciate you being available to chat with us, and I love the new album, Just to Hear the Whistle Blow. It's just all great stuff that you're connected with, and you do a lot of other work on other people's recordings, and of course Blue Highway is just like as dominant as there can be of a organization. So you're doing well.
Well, I'm trying to stay in there with it. You know, I always thought growing up that it'd be really cool to make a living playing bluegrass.
Well, keep at it, son.
Playing music. Can do it.
You can do it. You can do it. Tim Stafford, man, thanks so much for dropping by Unreal Bluegrass. I really do appreciate it a lot. It's guys like you that people like you that make it possible to put together a little bit of a different program and a little more in-depth sometimes and just, you know, kind of what we just did. So, man, I appreciate it a ton.
Well, thanks. I really appreciate it, Steve.
All right, Tim. Thank you, sir.
All right, man.